Please be seated. And the reading this morning is from Exodus 2. Page 60 in the Pew Bibles, and I'm just going to read the first 10 verses. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." God will bless that reading of his word to us. A little girl one day was sitting and watching her mum do dishes at the kitchen sink. She suddenly notices that her mother has several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast on her brunette head. "Why are some of your hairs white, Mom?" she asks. The mother replies, "Well, every time you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white." The little girl thinks for about a minute, and then she says, "So how come all of Grandma's hairs are white?" Okay. Some things my mother taught me. My mother taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, "You better pray the stain will come out of that carpet." And then my mother taught me logic from her decisive words. "Because I said so, that's why." Yeah, you've heard those. My mother taught me foresight. "Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident." My mother taught me irony. "Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about." My mother taught me stamina. "You'll sit there till that spinach is finished," or in the case of Sandy, until those peas are finished. It was Brussels sprouts in my case. My mother taught me about weather. "It looks as if a tornado swept through your room." And my mother taught me about the circle of life. "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." It's funny the things mums say, isn't it? It's funny the way in which we remember certain sayings, we remember certain things. And particularly when it comes to Mother's Day, it's always a difficult day to really try and put a balance to everything. And I want us today, as we are here, to think not about ourselves as mothers so much as to think about others, about our mothers. And if we are able, it's sad in certain situations our mothers are not remembered by some children, and that is a sad, very, very sad thing. And you know, we learned this past, well, very recently, the dilemma that we used to come with us occasionally. She has no contact with her mother, so and she's moving from where the home that she's been in for a little while to another home in Bradford instead of Barry. So value prayer for her. But it's always, how can I say, an emotional time, a tense time. It's sometimes a joyful time, and it's so difficult. But what I want us to see is the influence and the way in which God works, and we don't always see that. And when it comes to Mother's Day, I'm always looking to consider, who should we consider as a mother? There are so many examples of mums in the Bible, and so many different ones that we could take to use as an example. But I don't know how this came about, as these things do, but I was drawn to this account in Exodus. And it teaches us a lot of things. I haven't very often since I've been here gone to the Old Testament for the messages. I've gone to the Psalms, but to other passages. And you know, in years gone by, these were Sunday school stories. I'm sure you heard these stories as kids in Sunday school. I had a lady say to me, you know, 90 years ago, when I used this the other day, she said, 90 years ago, when I was in Sunday school, I played Moses' sister. It's one of those really classic Sunday school stories, isn't it? And we all know it, I'm sure. We used to sing with the children, "In a little basket, under skies so blue, floating on the river where the rushes grew." And there are many different examples that songs that tell this story. But it's not just a story, it's real. It shows us so many different aspects. It shows us of a godly lady, a lady who believed in God and trusted him implicitly. And she trusted him, and as a result of her trust in God, he blessed her. We have to understand that God has his plans, and we don't always understand his plans. If we say we understand everything about God, we are foolish, because we can't. If we say we understand all about God's ways, we don't. We have a glimpse. We are shown some things, and we continue to learn throughout our lives of the way in which God works. The days in which Moses was born were difficult days for the children of Israel. There were difficult days because Pharaoh suddenly realized that the population of the Israelites had increased and felt a little bit threatened by them. And the past was forgotten about. Joseph and how he had blessed, and as a result of him that the Egyptians had been blessed. And Pharaoh had given instructions to the midwives that any boy that was born was not to live. And so it was under that kind of situation that Moses was born. A man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. They were godly people. Levites were those who served in the temple. And so they were an important part. And so she was a godly lady. And he was born into a godly family. And when he was born, it was clear that God's hand was upon the family at this time. And it says he was a fine child, and she hid him for 3 months. Now, that couldn't have been too easy. Maybe, I don't know how, you know, babies not quiet, are they? But the older they get, the louder they get, right? And at 3 months, it was impossible to hide him at home anymore. And so she decided to make this basket and coated it with pitch, tar and pitch, and placed it amongst the reeds on the bank of the Nile. Just imagine your mum doing that. Wanted to protect your child and yet knowing that you can't protect him anymore at home because word will get out and you know what will take place. Instead, she chose to do this and place him outside along the riverbank amongst the reeds. And when she did that, just think too, as a mom, how she felt, but also she had a daughter. And she gave instructions to the daughter to keep an eye on her little baby brother. And so she stood and watched. What a precious sister she was. As she watched her little brother, and she made sure he was okay. I can just imagine as she saw Pharaoh's daughter come down to the river to bathe, her heart beat a bit faster and suddenly panicked as, oh no. But being the person she was, she ran over to Pharaoh's daughter. And said, shall I go and get someone to nurse the baby for you? What insight. And so as a result of that, Pharaoh's daughter said yes. And so she went and got her mom. And then Pharaoh's daughter said, take this baby and nurse him for me and I'll pay you. So here was God blessing her, giving her back her baby to take care of, to ground in the faith, to show him the hand of God, how God protected him. And so she took the baby and she was paid for that job. What a blessing for her as a mother to really have that baby and know that that baby was now safe and secure because Pharaoh's daughter had an interest in him. But then we discover that when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. Just imagine. The fact was that Moses' mother recognized God's hand, recognized that she could trust God, and God blessed her. And as a result, she returned because she believed that God had a plan for her baby, because God had a plan for her son. She gave him back. If we stop and think for a moment about this, this is such an important event that we see God at work through circumstances that are not good, but honoring those who trust him. God honored her faith. God honored her by giving her the opportunity, although she thought she could not. And was concerned her daughter had taken care of things, and now she was able to take care of her son. You know, God was preparing Moses. God had a plan. God has a plan for each one of us, and we do not always see it. And maybe we have to risk some things as she did, as she put the baby there in that basket amongst the reeds. She had faith. She trusted that God would take care of her babe, that her daughter would be a loving sister. And it proved to be. And then for her to have the babe back after Pharaoh's daughter coming, it was extra protection for that babe, for Moses. So if we learn anything from this, we learn the trust of the mother in God's plans for this babe. And as we can look back in time and as we see what happened afterwards, we recognize that God's hand was upon that baby, and that baby was being prepared. And as he was brought up, in the faith, and he was encouraged to learn, and that's an important role of a mother, to teach her children and to let them see how faith works. As I said, my grandmother was a big influence to me. My grandfather wasn't a believer, but my gran was. My grandfather allowed my grandmother to attend the church and anything else. But he wasn't really interested. But when we think and we are prepared to hand over to God, he will bless. My grandfather came to faith close to the end of his life. But as we remember, God has a plan for each one of us. We are here today because God has planned it. God's plans for Moses were big plans. You see, he needed to be grounded in the Hebrew history. He needed to be grounded in the Hebrew faith. But then he also needed to have an understanding of the Egyptians, because God was going to use him as he would grow up with the Pharaohs, as he would grow up in that situation and in that culture. His mum had taught him and grounded him in the faith. You see, we don't always recognize the influence that we have played, but we need to recognize the influence that our mothers played in our lives, and that God overall has been watching over us. And if our experience has not always been good, still, God has had his hand upon us. You see, God had his hand upon Moses. It was Moses that was important. Yes, it was Moses, the babe, that God watched over. Are we prepared always to recognize that God's plans, he plans things so that we learn lessons? We go through the scriptures, there are so many examples, as I said earlier, of mothers who demonstrated and proved their trust through their actions. I'm not going to mention any today. But it's interesting to notice that in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is giving instructions to husbands and wives, and then to children. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise," and that's in the bulletin from Exodus 20, "that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And what's interesting, when the Apostle Paul talks and tells children, you obey your parents, it's interesting he gives instructions to husbands, to wives. He gives instructions to dads, but he doesn't give instructions to mums. I wonder why. If you notice, he says about dads, and this is, God spoke through the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul, as God spoke, penned these words, and God understands us. And dads, he says, provoke not your children to wrath. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I want to suggest there's a reason why a mum isn't given instructions. And the reason, I believe, is that there is a bond, a special bond between a mum and a babe, her child. Because a mum has had a relationship with that child as it grew inside of her. And then as she gave birth, and as through the pain of childbirth, and then when she has to nurture that child from birth, there is a very special relationship between a mother and a child. And in reality, most mothers generally will only want the best for their children. And they have such a close attachment to their children. But just imagine that way in which Moses' mother just was prepared to give her child back. You see, she was thankful that she was able to nurture him and bring him to that point where he had strength in himself. And as she probably would have said to him, you know, God has a plan for you, and you have to accept that plan. God has protected you through birth right up to now, and he has a plan for you in the future. And I'm going to hand him back because God has a plan there for you. One of the biggest things that a mother has to do is to let a child go. One of the biggest things is to let that child suddenly have their own wings, if you like, to fly, to do their own thing. But the responsibility of a mother is only up to that point. And then it is that child has their own life to live based on the grounding that they had as children. And Moses had that from his mum. And mothers will take care of their children. It is inbuilt. It is something that is so important. I'm sure that each of you could tell different stories about your mums, some not good, some good, some surprising, some not so surprising. I'm thankful for my mom that she encouraged me, even though I failed my music exam on the piano, to not give up playing the piano. And she encouraged me, and I thank God to this day that she encouraged me to continue, because she knew how blessed I would be as a result. The example we have here is an example of God at work through other people. Not easy for the sister, but the sister, again, was, because of the grounding she had, because of what her mother had shared with her, was able to respond in the right way. You know, we're living in days when we become so detached. Early on, I remember working amongst the people in Wales, and the detachment of parents from their children. The children became, there was one family, they had five children, and those children were out on the streets all hours of the day and night, as 3-year-old out on the road side playing. That parent did not have that concern for their children. There wasn't that bond of love that should have been. But here we see this picture of a mother who was prepared to step out because she recognized she was blessed to have that babe, and that babe has survived those 3 months. She recognized God had a plan for him. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And we need to be open to what it is. Those of us who have been parents or mothers especially know what it is to have children and then to see grandchildren and great-grandchildren and realize that we still have responsibility. The responsibility is different. A grandparent is different from a mum or a dad. There are different roles, but we can be supportive and encourage. But the closest relationship is between a mother and her child. We think of another mother who is prepared to be obedient to God and to step out in faith. It was Mary, who allowed God to use her in a special way, that she bore the Son of God, brought him into the world and nurtured him. She took risks. She was obedient because God had a plan for her child. The interesting thing about Mary and the comments made about her as the different events took place, Mary pondered these things in her heart. She wondered at the way in which God was working. And it's good for us to pause and wonder at the way in which God is working in our lives. We need to honor our mother and our father. And as parents, we have responsibility for our children. As grandparents, we too have responsibility, if only we're allowed, sometimes not. But Mom is special. Mom brought us into this world. Mom, my mom, especially for me, almost was called home when I was born. She said she saw the lights of glory, and she was in hospital for 3 months. Don't know the full details, but my grandmother became my mom in that period of time. And so I had a closer relationship with her through the years. Mom, give thanks for mom. Give thanks for the examples. There are some not so good moms too in the Bible. I didn't want to look at any of those because I want us to be positive. I know that God wants us to share love. And Moses was shown love by his mom, but taught responsibility. He was prepared to be great by his mom. We've been prepared for whatever, in whatever way by moms, and we know that we're inadequate. We know that we fail and we're not perfect. But there is something about a mom. Give thanks today for moms. Let's sing together the hymn 422. Thank God for his grace, amazing grace, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I think we'll sing the first verse and the fourth and fifth verse. 1, 4, and 5. Let's start to sing. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for the way in which you work in our lives. We thank you for moms. We thank you for the example of Moses' mom. And we thank you, Lord, that we too can trust you as she did. We know that you have a purpose for each one of us. And we pray that we might fulfill that purpose. We thank you for the preparation that you've given to us up to now. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to use us and bless us as we seek to serve you. We pray that we might know your blessing, the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.